do you think happened to Simone there? Is she okay? Sound like maybe she pulled something? Or...
It's a hammy. It's a hammy. Let's get you back to more Drive Guys.
Everybody okay? All right. All right. Yeah, you know what's funny here? Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, thanks for being with us. It's funny because you always assume that I'm such a big 49er fan. As we talk about Brock Purdy.
Why wouldn't I?
I like a 49ers okay. I'm a Bengals fan. That's a thing.
That came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You must have some article hyping up the Bengals or something like that.
No, I'm just it's like just you're funny a Bears fan. Well, I do. Yeah, I'm a Bears fan too. But you accuse me of being so... You know, just so one-sided with the 49ers.
Yeah.
So biased, and I'm just like, that's not even my squad, right? I'm a Bengals fan, so you got to keep that.
So you're
in mind.
Unbiased, okay?
Yeah, right, unbiased. Just
pegged you wrong.
Rational,
that's my fault.
Observer, by the way, and I know you've been saying this. We talked about this during the crossover earlier today. The 49ers have gotten some breaks this year, and that happens to a lot of teams that are having great years. But it looks like they may catch a big one. It looks like if Deshaun Watson doesn't play this week and he's still got problems with his throwing shoulder, PJ Walker would be the quarterback for the Browns. Last I checked, they'd have to activate him from the practice.
Right. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, DTR, started last week, and I pulled up, PJ's numbers. PJ Walker, 28-year-old, played his college ball at Temple. Go Temple Owls, Philadelphia. I attended Temple as well back in the day. But
you went to Temple?
Yeah.
Alan Stiles went to Temple.
Really?
Yes.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to chop it up with him about that then. Yes.
He played baseball there.
I was there back in the day when John Chaney and the boys were running things then. Oh, yeah, the heyday of Temple. But I'm looking at PJ's numbers, and the Niners just, maybe it's their season. You know, maybe just the ball is going to bounce their way. Things are going to go their way. PJ, when I look at his numbers, PJ Walker, career, 15 games played, 7 started. 5 touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
With Carolina?
With Carolina. 3 seasons with Carolina.
Then he went to the XFL, didn't he?
Yes, exactly. Started 7 games. His completion percentage for his career is 57.4%. No Deshaun Watson, no Nick Chubb. Come on, man. Come on. Like, the Niners could score 6 points and win this game 6-0. Like, this Browns offense is terrible
right
now.
It's not good. Not good at all.
It is terrible.
And it's too bad because their defense is really strong. I picked them before the season started to be a playoff team, and we'll see. They're 2-2, right? Because they had a bye.
2-2. Yep.
But the Chubb injury hurts, and Watson. I didn't know what to make of him before he got hurt. So it does look like the 49ers could be catching a huge break. Nothing against PJ Walker, right? I mean, I have great respect for anybody who's a professional, and you're on the taxi squad or whatever, and they practice squad. You get the call, you got to be ready to go. It's a great story, but if you're the 49ers, you got to like your chances if it's PJ Walker, not Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and I can't even say, uh-oh, this might be a trap game. We can't even what ways can the Niners lose this game? I just don't see it. You look at the numbers, you look at the rosters. Listen to this right here, Whitey. This Browns offense, I told you how anemic it was. It's 23rd in the NFL in points per game at 19. But they are
it's
trending downwards. Exactly, they're 30th in the NFL in passing yards, and so they can't beat the Niners. One weakness, if they had one before this Dallas game, was their pass defense. Didn't rate as well. That's changed. Obviously, they played extremely well against Dak Prescott in Dallas. But you look at the ground game of the Browns, you would think, man, that would be their best chance. But with no Nick Chubb out there, they got to go with Jerome Ford at running back, who's averaging 3.9 yards a carry. So it's not like, you're looking at him as a guy that can be a game changer. And so, like I said, the Niners could have their worst offensive. Like, they could score 10 points, and I would still be confident they can win this game.
Fred Warner was named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week for his, his trifecta, they're calling it, against the Cowboys. What Fred Warner did was he forced a fumble, he had an interception, and he had a sack in week 5, and he was the team's leading tackler with eight tackles. So he's the first 49er player to come up with one or more sacks, one or more forced fumbles, and one or more interceptions in a game since Navarro Bowman did it in 2013. It really speaks to how dominant the 49er defense was and what they did. You know, Dak has taken so much heat, understandably, but it appears that Dallas went into that game thinking, because of what they've seen the 49ers play this year, they thought, we're going to see some soft zones. That's what they play.
Right.
And the 49ers played man-to-man press.
Yeah.
And Dallas had no answer for that.
And that goes back to coaching, too.
Yes.
You know, that you talked about before the game last week. And so, you know, when you think the Niners are going to zig, they zag. You know, the thing about this defense is it's so versatile. Like, you know, they don't have any holes, I don't think, defensively. And when you look at it, we were sort of waiting for that dominant defensive game, and we got that. And if they're, you know, they're the top defense in the NFL right now, you know, next to Cleveland. Like, they're the top two defenses we're going to see this week. And
wasn't
so,
Dallas the top defense?
Yeah, they were until they got 42 hung up on them. But, you know, when you look at, yeah, so actually the Niners are the top defense. Cleveland's number two in terms of points. Browns defense gives up the fewest yards, though. And the thing that this Browns defense does, they give up fewer yards by a lot. Like, they give up less than 200 yards a game. And I understand they haven't faced a whole lot of competition. They haven't, you know, played great. But they give up 196.8 yards per game. The Niners are third at 266.8. So you're talking about a 70 difference in terms of yards per game. And so that's the only chance I think the Browns have. They got to turn the Niners over. They got to hold them, you know, to three and outs. But they got to do that, and we haven't seen anybody all season long do that to San Francisco.
You touched on the one thing that, to me, makes the 49ers legitimate Super Bowl contenders, legitimate. And the one thing I'll agree with you on with the 49ers is fans do get a little carried away, but that's what fans are going to do.
Yeah.
You know, you win five games. Are they going to win the Super Bowl? You know, they could, but it depends on how they play against a team like Philly, and we have no idea how that's going to go. But, yeah, everything looks great. So if you're a fan, enjoy it. But the reason I think there's no question they are a legitimate contender to win it all is because, as you said, defensively they're versatile, right? We just saw it last week.
Yeah.
Dallas thought they're going to see zone, 49ers, man-to-man press, and they pulled it off. And we know offensively they're very versatile. So on both sides of the football, they're one of the teams. They're not the only team. Your team can do it. Maybe there's a handful of other teams that could do it, but there's a number of ways they can beat you. So you adjust, you slow down one thing they do well, there are other things they can do, and that's why they're so hard to beat now.
And don't let that pass rush get going.
Right.
You know, like, I don't think we've really seen the best of that pass rush yet. You know, I thought the linebacker play was great.
Randy Gregory, that could be a really big acquisition.
He might add something. Exactly. He could add something to this Niners defense. And I'm looking at the draft line, the betting lines for this week's game. The Niners are only, and I know it's a lot, it's a big number, they're only a 7-point favorite over the Browns.
I would think that would be high.
Yeah, you know, exactly. I'm looking at some of these lines here. The Chiefs are 10.5-point favorites over the Broncos. The Dolphins are 13.5-point favorites over the Panthers. What else? The Eagles are 7 over the Jets. The Rams are 7 over the Cardinals. I would think this matchup between Cleveland and the Niners is like a 13.5 kind of matchup, especially with no Deshaun Watson out there. And that's not me being a homer. Like, that's an objective observer. See, 49ers fans, we can do that. We can actually be that. But looking at it objectively, I don't see how this is a one-touchdown game.
I'm a little surprised it's even there's a line, because with Deshaun Watson's status, I would think they might even take that off the board. I'm with you. That's a shockingly low number. By the way, you mentioned the Jets and the Eagles. You hear what Robert Saleh says about the tush push.
No, what'd he say?
He says, if the quarterback carries the ball, we got to give him 11 kisses.
Hey, I like it. I like it. And why do people have a problem with the tush push? Let's say if it's a running back, you hand him the ball, he gets to the line of scrimmage, he's trying to go into the end zone, you're allowed to push him. So the quarterback is a runner. Once he tucks it, he turns into a running back. So why is there an issue with pushing?
Just because it doesn't look good.
It just doesn't look good, right? It doesn't.
They're so good at it. It's unstoppable.
I love it. And, you know, why do you think other teams aren't as successful or don't run it as much.
They you don't know, have as good of offensive line. Who's the guy? The left tackle in the Eagles is just a monster.
Who?
My top.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the 6'9" rugby player. Yeah. He's a beast.
Yeah.
Did you see the video of him that
I
they
did.
Showed?
I did.
The rugby video?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you bring that
so
guy
there's one
down?
Reason. Right. That, yeah.
Goodbye.
But, yeah, I was watching the Rams game, like I told you, you're probably watching too. And when they were – by the second half, when they were lining up for that, the announcers, I forget who it was, but they were just saying, there's no way you can stop them. They're going to get this every time.
It's the perfect play. Fourth and two, you're at the two-yard line, whatever. If you need 2 yards, turn to that play right there. It's virtually unstoppable. What, the Eagles, like 97% conversion rate or something?
Yeah.
Something crazy.
Jordan Mailata, pardon me.
Yeah,
I said
Jordan Mailata, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, Robert Saleh can say, oh, we're going to have to give the quarterback 11 kisses. You can't get to the quarterback.
Right.
It's almost like
right.
He's surrounded seemingly by like eight people deep.
You know what it looks like?
Scrum.
It looks like if you were, you know, when football was first invented,
yeah.
Like, you know, it was like, this is how they used to play 100 years ago or something
yeah.
like that. You know, sort of like when you watch grainy video of old basketball games. That's how that looks, you know, the tush push. And, you know, it's effective, though. It is effective.
I read a story. I'll find this story for you. Speaking of that, there's a story of a football game, early 1900s, whatever it was. And there was a player and they'd give him the ball and his teammates had a handle sewn on his jersey. And they would get it. This is, I'm not
this
making
this. It's a legit
up.
Play. This
yeah.
is all right.
And they would give him the ball and they would throw him
no
over.
No way.
Yes. His teammates would pick him up by the strap and they would fling him over the line of scrimmage. And they had to outlaw it. But that's tough to stop.
I know. I was about to say, how come nobody's tried that again here in the near future, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why not do that?
Yeah, that is
who
now
would volunteer for that role, though? Like, you can't be, you know, a fullback or something.
Rudy,
you got to be a little
Rudy,
scat back.
I'll
yeah,
do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. That would be finable now. And speaking of, it looks like the NFL is considering taking some of George Kittle's money. That is next when we come back. Rise, guys, on Sacktown Sports. Kyle, are you a little disappointed that this game doesn't shape up as a tougher contest for the 49ers? I'd like to see the 49ers win all their games, but I'd like to see some. You know, last week was exciting. Ooh, here we go. And then, oh, man, mismatch.
Yeah, I am a little disappointed. You know, they're going on the road at Cleveland. You know, after week three, I think it was. Two or three, I thought, man, this Cleveland team, they're a little better than, you know, their defense is great, and they got a playmaker in Deshaun Watson, but now you lose Chubb, you lose Deshaun. This might be one of those CMC rest of fourth quarter kind of games or something like that. I mean,
right.
this could get ugly pretty quickly just because I don't think, A, the Browns can necessarily move the ball. But look also for a high turnover game from Cleveland. You know, look for the Niners to get two or three picks in this game, maybe a fumble or two, short field. And so it could escalate pretty quickly, I think.
This reminds me of Bill Walsh's 49ers. And I know, you know, that I'm going back a ways. But I remember, you know, Montana and those guys and Ronnie Lott, and they would play, and they would just beat the stuffings out of everybody. Especially, what was that, like 1984, when they ended up playing the Dolphins in the Super Bowl. And every week, they were just better than everybody else. And I think that's just where it is right now. This team, the way it's built, and the state of the NFL is such that they're going to be vastly better than the vast majority of teams they play week to week. But it is going to come down to what happens
right.
against teams like, you know, not that there are a lot of them, but when the Eagles.
There's a handful, that. You know. I would say, you know, three or four that could probably give, you know, the Niners a run. I would say the Eagles are in that mix, and then I'd probably have to go to the AFC. I think the Chiefs, you can never count them out. I'll throw the Bills in that mix as well, and maybe that might be it. That, you know, because I don't think the Dolphins, as explosive of an offense that they have, I don't think their defense is that great. I look at, you know, when you look at Cincinnati, they're limping right now. You know, maybe they've turned the corner.
My squad.
So I'm your team. So in a couple of few weeks when they play the Bengals, I'll remind you of that, you know. And so I think that's going to be a test. But I don't think there's a lot of teams right now that can challenge the Niners.
I was talking to one of our fine account executives here, Ken, who's a huge 49er fan. And he was saying, just from a fan's perspective today, before our show, he was saying, you know, at some point, they're going to be one of those games. You know, they're just going to have one of those close games. And I, you know, I don't like to say this, but I suggested to him, I don't know, maybe Seattle. I know you say that. And he goes, yeah, but they don't play them for a while. But
right.
I could see, you know, especially up there, maybe that's one of those, you know, like, wow, it's a fourth quarter and they're in trouble.
Yeah. I could, you know, I know you're not a fan of Seattle, but I think division games, you know, late in the season, a lot to play for. Seattle's going to get up for that game, especially the one up there. You know, when you look at, you know, this Niners team, you know, I've been impressed with just their mindset. You know, historically, over recent years, we've seen them come limping out of the gate. You know, they've come with a business type attitude, an attitude that they're on the mission. And I credit, obviously, Kyle Shanahan, but give the players some credit. Give the Kittles, even the Boses some credit, CMC, Debo as well. Like, these guys came in with the mindset of, you know what? We let one go in the NFC Championship game. We feel like if we would have been healthy, we were the best team. And they've been on a mission to prove that so far this season.
Remember right before the season started, it appeared that the 49ers had so many issues. They had Bosa. When are they going to sign Bosa? What are they going to do? And they had a kicker.
Right?
They got rid of Robbie Gould, who never misses for this guy. Moody, who can't make a kick. They had that. They had all the quarterback drama. Brock Purdy, is he okay? All right, it looks like he's okay, but who's the backup? Oh, boy, what's going on with Trey Lance and Sam Darnold? And somehow, someway, here they are, and those are just distant.
Those aren't.
Distant memories.
Those are blips on the radar when you think about it. And you look at Moody, he hasn't been asked to, you know, really stretch his leg out, you know? Against Dallas, he kicked extra points all day, you know? And so kudos to the kid. Like, you work him in slowly, you know? He hasn't been in a high-leverage, high-pressure situation. And so by the time he does get to that point, he's a veteran at that point. You know, you're talking week 12. Week 13, I keep bringing it up. I know it's against Philly, but not only that matchup in that environment, that's a Sunday night football game. The city of Philadelphia will be, you know, lit. You know, it was a house of horrors for the Niners in the NFC Championship game. And so it'll be critical, you know, for Moody, for Brock Purdy, those guys to be able to perform in that kind of environment.
The story today, big 49ers story today, that is, word that the league apparently, according to Adam Schefter, according to sources, the NFL is considering a fine for George Kittle because of the T-shirt he wore against the Cowboys that said "Bleep Dallas." He would be fined $10,927, according to the NFL's fine schedule. It's not clear why they are considering that and why they're not just doing it or not. What if they asked you, Kyle Draver, what should we do here? What do you fine
him? Slap
him
with the fine and keep moving on.
Right.
I mean, it's no big deal. It's, you know, I know the Cowboys, you know, are a little frustrated by it, upset about it. They're in a tizzy about it. But you know what? Shut him up. Win the game. You know, I'm sure George Kittle wouldn't take off his jersey and show that if the Cowboys had won. And so I think it's gamesmanship. I think it's trash talking. I think it's trolling. I have zero problem with it. The only problem I do have, I guess, Whitey, is, and this is why the NFL has this rule, and this is why the NFL has to fine him, you can't be having this every week. You know, if Kittle can do it, why can't so-and-so? And then everybody will be, you know, wearing some sort of shirt, delivering some sort of message. But this one-off, hit him with the fine, and let's keep on moving.
Can you even say this anymore? I'm going to say it. It concerns me a little bit. There are some people watching that game, and I get it. It's a competitive game, and I understand where he's coming from. There are kids watching. I mean, shouldn't that matter on some level? Or am I just
It should. Okay. No, we're you know what? We're old fashioned. I don't like cursing in front of my kids. You know, I don't like listening to music with curse words in front of my kids. What's interesting is I don't know if you turn on the radio, FM radio right now, some of the lyrics in these songs, it's like, oh my God, what happened to decency? What happened to, you know, and I know these kids are hearing it on their own with their friends and everything like that, but they don't have to hear it from me. So same thing with George Kittle. Like if I got an 8-year-old watching that's, you know, it's like, you know, and it's like going to a game also, you know, some of the language you hear in some of these stands, like, you know, I remember when I was in Boston and me and my son, we left the game. I think it was a Bruins game. And we were walking back to the car And the number of F words, he was probably seven at the time. The number of F words he heard. So you can't shield him from it. It's part of society. I do wish that, you know what? Oh, man, there's kids in the room. Maybe we shouldn't talk like this. I do wish we got back to that a little bit.
I was my wife and I, Shinya, we were at a place, like a sandwich place around here. This is a couple of years ago. And we're the only two in there. And then there's this older couple that comes in. Older couple comes in. And they were playing some kind of contemporary music. And there was language. And they had it up really loud for some reason. And there was language. It's like, wow. And so the woman went up, this older woman goes up and just politely, as far as I could tell, she asks, could you, just turn that off? And the guy says, we don't control the music. There's nothing I can do. And I just thought, man, that's the wrong move. Right? Just whatever it is, turn it off, right? And no matter how you feel about it, if a customer, and she was nice about it, mm-hmm. It's an old couple, and they didn't like hearing that when they're eating. And I think there also might have been some kids in there. And the guy behind the counter is like, yeah, there's nothing I can do. And I just thought, man, that's...
You're touching a nerve with me right now. This is something that really bothers me about, raising kids today. You can do your best inside your home, but when they leave, they're hearing all kinds of things. They're seeing all kinds of things. And to, what happened to respecting your elders,
That's it. That's all it is.
What happened to carrying an old lady's groceries to her car for her and everything like that? We don't see that. And I know I sound old and ancient and everything like that, but that's respectful. It's funny. I had to get on my son's case a couple of weeks ago. We're about to walk into a store and he goes in first, and I'm like, hold up, broski, hold the door open for me, your mom, your sister, the lady, it's like you got to teach them, what it means to be a gentleman, what it means to be respectful out there. And I do feel like we lose it. I'm looking at the YouTube chat. Hold on. Cousin Pete, I cuss in front of my kids, but I teach them and raise them to know that's not okay until they're adults.
However you want to raise your kids, that's fine. By all means, I'm sure you're doing a great job.
He says, exactly, yeah. Drapes, the way my kids acted at home is not how they act in front of other people. It's parenting. So,
yeah. But to me, in a public setting, and there's foul language, and a woman very politely, an older woman asks, can you turn that down? And then say, no, there's nothing we can do. That's a swing and a miss.
And here's my problem. I love rap music. I love hip hop. And I'm trying to listen to some of my old school stuff, and I'm like, I need to find the clean versions because there's a lot of things I can't play. I can't play Too Short with my kids in the car. I can't play 2 Live Crew with my kids in the car.
Not yet, right? There'll be time when you can.
Yeah, I don't know. They're 14 and 11. I still feel uncomfortable. And I got my son the other day. He was like, Dad, you should play this song. He said, but there's only expletive version out there. And I'm like, well, how do you know about it then, Nick? How would you find that? He got quiet all of a sudden. So that's good stuff.
But at least he came to you with that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Like,
exactly.
This is a deal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We'll take a quick time out here. When we come back, we may have to tap into your Boston expertise,
ooh,
Kyle Draper, because everybody believes Bill Belichick is unfireable. Except the guy who could fire him. That's next with the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. Kyle Draper has an update on the Kings lineup tonight. Before we get to that, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. If you want to weigh in today, all callers come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. So yeah. Who's not playing
tonight?
Yeah,
big game, obviously, for the Kings tonight against Lakers. We were talking about things we like to see, players we're keeping our eye on. One guy we won't be able to watch tonight is Keegan Murray. Keegan has been a late scratch in this game. The Kings tweeted it out just a few minutes ago. They say he's dealing with right thumb soreness, I do believe it is. So no Keegan Murray tonight, right thumb soreness. He is out against the Lakers.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but did he have, was that the thumb that he had injured? I don't
know.
That's,
I Don't quote me on that. I'm not 100% sure.
But he did have something similar to Sabonis last year, didn't he? And it was just not mentioned.
And he played through it as well. And if you remember, late November, December, he's wearing like a little splint or something on it. Nobody really talked about it or anything. Like, it wasn't publicized much, but he played with it, you know, pretty much the entire season.
I was filling in on the afternoon show here, and this was probably February or so, and we were talking to Jordy Fernandez. And he mentioned something, because I asked something about Sabonis and the thumb, and he said something about Keegan and his thumb. And we're like, what? does he? And Jordy's like, oh, yeah, it's nothing. So he didn't mean to divulge that. But it never really came out till after the season that Keegan was dealing with something similar.
Yeah, he was dealing with it also. Yes, yes. And so I'm not sure if it's the same thumb, but he is out tonight, right thumb soreness.
All right.
Yeah.
And no LeBron tonight. And if the Kings win, there will be no lighting of the beam, which, like I said, initially a little disappointed, but I'm totally on board with it because let's wait till it matters and counts.
Right, exactly. Wait till we beat Utah in game one, Golden State, the Lakers, then we can light the beam.
Can I ask you real quick here before we get to Belichick, if you're interested in this, you know, for all the talk of Purdy, and I'm not putting you on the spot, the hot spot about Purdy here, but Purdy, a seventh round pick. Did you know that there are, I believe there's three quarterbacks who were picked in the seventh round that we've heard of here in fairly recent history that actually made the Pro Bowl? That surprised
me. Made the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, seventh round picks as quarterbacks.
I can't even begin to think who that would be.
I believe it was, and this may be a little before your time, I remember Pat Hayden on the Rams went to USC.
Okay.
Remember Gus Frerotte?
Gus Frerotte. Oh,
he was
really?
A seventh-round pick, and he made a Pro Bowl. Matt Cassel.
Matt Cassel.
Yeah.
He made a Pro Bowl?
Yeah, I think he made one Pro Bowl.
That one year in New England when he led them to the 11-5 when Tom Brady got hurt.
And then also a seventh-round pick who I don't think made a Pro Bowl, but he's now Mr. Football, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Get out of here.
Seventh-round picks. I didn't know that.
So it happens.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Yeah. All right.
Brock Purdy's better than any of those guys, isn't he?
I'm not going to say that just yet. I need to see it. You're not getting me there, Whitey. I need to see more from Brock.
Don't forget to check out our poll and cast your vote. Vote early, vote often. Which quarterback is playing the best in the NFL right now? And kudos to whoever decided to phrase it that way. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, of course.
I got the updated numbers if you want those.
Pretty. Yes.
Josh Allen, 5%. Patrick Mahomes, 8%. Jalen Hurts, 8%. And gosh, wouldn't you know it? Brock Purdy, 79%.
Look at that. Okay.
He's objective Niners fans weighing in. I
Again,
appreciate
this
it.
This is a scientific poll. The person who put it together had a clipboard and a lab coat when she put it together. So there you go.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of New England, as we were a moment ago, it's funny because I remember talking with you about this weeks ago, how there's some rumblings that maybe if things don't go well for the Patriots, that Belichick could be on the hot seat. And you, with a Boston background, you thought that sounded kind of ridiculous, but here we are. They're off to this terrible 1-4 start, and we continue to hear rumblings out of New England that Robert Kraft is not happy.
So what do you say? Belichick, here's the thing. And this is my personal opinion. This is my belief. He's on the hot seat. There's no doubt about it. Wow. The natives are restless out there in New England. They're not used to losing. They're not used to being irrelevant. You know, you get blasted by Dallas 38-3, I think it was, and then lose 35-0 to the Saints. Like, that's unacceptable in New England. With that being said, I still cannot see a scenario where Robert Kraft says, Bill, you are fired during the regular season. He'll call him in the office after the season and say, Bill, how do you want to handle this? But I don't think he will publicly make a change. And if he does, they will spin it that Bill Belichick decided to step away.
Here apparently is the story, as far as we know. Belichick, of course, a .465 winning percentage since Brady left there. And that includes a 1-4 start this year. So he's considered an icon within the organization. Of course, he is. He's a pro football icon. Robert Kraft not pleased. And according to a writer with The Athletic named Jeff Howe.
Yeah, my guy. I know Jeff.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, he's a good writer. Okay. I trust his word.
Kraft has grown, quote, frustrated, if not downright angry, end quote, with the Patriots' lack of success. Howe also writes that Kraft, quote, Robert Kraft, doesn't subscribe, end quote, to the idea that Belichick has earned the right to decide when he will step aside. So the owner is not among those who believes Bill Belichick has earned the right to step aside when he wants to, or at least under the terms that he wants to step away from the game under.
And I agree with that. That echoes what I'm saying, you know, but I don't think Kraft would make a move in season. I do think Kraft, you know, if this season continues the way it is, you know, Robert Kraft has set a high standard of excellence. And, you know, when he took over the Patriots, they were awful. They weren't, you know, a contending team. He helped build them up, hired Bill Belichick, and they've won, you know, 5 Super Bowls together. When you look at it might be even 6. Man, I lose track. It's crazy how many Super Bowls they've won. Mm-hmm. When you look at what Bill Belichick has done, I think it's only, what, the 4th year removed from Tom Brady? It's not like, you know what, it's 10 years of terrible play, things like that. But in New England, they demand excellence. And I don't think it has as much to do with the record as it has to do with the personnel decisions that Bill Belichick has made. This, you know, Mac Jones, Matt Patricia as your offensive coordinator, Jacoby Myers, the wide receiver, letting him go, who's now putting up numbers with the Raiders. He's having a solid season with the Raiders. And so I think what we've seen is, you know, when you look at Bill Belichick, a great coaching mind, but forced Rob Gronkowski out. Tom Brady decided to leave. You know, not the X's and O's on field stuff, just maybe the arrogance that it's my way or the highway, and the way he treated the players. And so there's no reason why, and I get it, Tom Brady is sort of like Joe Montana, seeing Joe Montana in the Chiefs jersey. Like, there's no reason we should have saw Tom Brady not retire a Patriot.
Right, because with the 49ers, they had Steve Young. Bill Walsh had the replacement there. But in this case,
they didn't have anybody.
Yeah, Robert Kraft didn't really want to see that happen, so Brady leaves, wins another Super Bowl, and the Patriots have not won a postseason game since Brady left.
And it's on Bill Belichick. The heat is up on him. I would be shocked if an in-season move is made. I do know Robert Kraft is a winner. Like, you know, this is the Patriots, the pecking order in Boston.
So you agree with these reports that he is just furious.
Oh, yes.
Furious right now.
His team is turning into the laughing stock.
Because, you know, sometimes he seems like kind of a kindly grandfather.
Oh, but no, not at all. Not at all. He is a competitor. He's fiery. And when you look at the division, when would we ever have thought that the Dolphins, shoot, even the Jets would be better than the Patriots, the Bills? Like, the Patriots would be the laughing stock of the division. Never would have thought that. Never would have thought that.
And it happened quickly.
Tom Brady leaves. Pew! They've had a revolver. Remember, they tried Cam Newton at quarterback. You know, some say you should have kept Jimmy Garoppolo and groomed him to have been the guy. That's neither here nor there. But Bill Belichick's inability, his personnel decisions, really have hurt this team.
Yeah, because it's not as if they tore that team down where they knew that, look, we got to start over. No. Belichick believed that this team could still be competitive, and he's been wrong about that. I would not be surprised. I don't have the Boston background you have, of course, but I would not be surprised if this continues, if he doesn't make it through the rest of the season.
Let me ask you really quickly, Whitey, and this goes to show you Bill Belichick's ineptitude when it comes to personnel decisions. Who's the last number one wide receiver the Patriots have had?
I don't know.
Like, real true. I mean, Wes Welker,
Branch.
Right. Randy Moss, maybe.
Randy Moss,
you know,
is
like,
the answer. And
is 2023 in the NFL, when the passing game is more important than ever, and yet they have not addressed the wide receiver position. Mm-hmm. That, to me, could be a fireable offense right there.
Yeah, it's possible that the game has passed one of its greatest coaches by.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's what many believe in New England is, and that, you know, without Tom Brady, who, you know, didn't have a whole plethora of wide receivers. Tom Brady made his wide receivers look better. You take Brady away, then you realize, man, you know, Brady was a big part of our success.
Coming up, we bounce back over to basketball with a scattering report on the NBA's newest feud, Straper and Gleason. Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. Well, I'm a little uncomfortable with this. Kyle Draper's loving it. We got Braves and Phillies on one of our monitors here, and we got these Sixers at home against the Celtics. So it's Philly. Where's it? You want to get the Flyers game?
Right, right. I think they might be playing tonight as well. And so I can't help it, man, that the squad is getting national attention. Our baseball team's mollywopping the Braves right now, 8-2. So, no, it's great, man. I should put my feet up. You know, what we got, 3 more segments? Shoot, I might catch the end of these games.
Yeah. By the way, we got some less than great news on the Kings tonight. Kyle Draper sharing with us that Keegan's not playing tonight. Nothing to be alarmed about.
Nothing to be alarmed about. Sore right thumb. You know, I would imagine, you know, you got a few days off. What's today, Wednesday, your next game? Not until Sunday, that home preseason opener. I fully expect them to play in that game.
Mm-hmm. Interesting comments here on the chat. We appreciate it as always. Cousin Pete weighing in. We were talking earlier about swearing in public and with kids in the equation, how you deal with that. Cousin Pete says, I just don't believe in sheltering kids. My kids are street and book smart, way better kids than I was. Ha ha. To me, the whole thing is, as long as your kids understand there's a time and a place for it and understand that, like, grandparents, older people, you just respect them and don't swear around them and just, you know, respect, because they've earned that. That's the main thing to me.
Yeah, and you know, the longstanding joke is that, you know, the kids, when they're outside of the house, when they're around other people or they go to sleepovers, they're so respectful. They're so, you know, they're so polite. But in the house, my brother and my son and daughter are fighting all the time like cats and dogs. They don't want to clean their room. They're back talking and everything like that. But in public, it's like, oh, yes, Mrs. Washington. Yes, I'd like to have, you know, so polite in it. I'm like, where was that at home? You know, but they're more relaxed. They're in their environment. They actually think they have a say in things. And so
they know the difference,
right? They know the difference.
Yeah. Derek, by the way, weighing in with this. Thank you, Derek. He says, I finally got the approval from my boss to have the YouTube channel up while I was at work. Yeah.
That's how you do it, right? Yeah. You know, you listen in your car, you listen on the app, or you listen on YouTube at work, you know, and you could have that on in the background, us in the background. That's how you do it, man.
Yeah. And there are numbers. If we can find them, we'll make them up, that show that your productivity increases at work, right?
And you say, we can't find them, we'll make them up,
we'll
right?
We'll get some for
we'll
you.
Find
no
some somewhere.
If you need to show your boss, we'll get you some numbers.
Exactly. And so, you know, I was just thinking, how many three? This is our fifth day of the Drive Guys, I believe.
Is
it?
We
started Wednesday of last week, right? Wednesday,
that
Thursday,
right.
Friday. No, this is our sixth day. So we're off and running here, man. Uh-huh. And this thing's about to get turned up with the NBA season coming up, Niners football. And so I feel like we're just getting started, just hitting the tip of the iceberg of this show.
Yeah, we appreciate you being with us here and your support, and especially the participation means a lot. It's a lot of fun. Makes it more fun for us. Speaking of people not getting along, you said your kids are fighting. There's another NBA feud going on here. We started to get to this yesterday, and I never quite did. But one of the reasons I wanted to ask you about it was because I don't understand this. Paul George and Devin Booker now have a feud. And Paul George says, line was passed, which I guess means like he crossed the line in regard to a feud with Suns Devin Booker. And apparently what happened was Paul George has, you know, his podcast Pee with Paul George. So he had Clay on. So he asked Clay to talk about when he was trash-talking Devin Booker with the four rings gesture. Which, by the way, that was a really embarrassing moment for Clay. And even Clay admits, like, I wish I hadn't done that. And Devin Booker was destroying Clay that night. So it was not, it wasn't like, oh, what a night for Clay. But anyway, Clay talked about it on the podcast with Podcast B. And then Devin Booker gets in touch with Paul George and says, did you get the answer that you wanted? And somehow from that now, it's on between the two of them.
I
don't get it.
Is this the feud that we never knew we needed? Like, where is this coming from? By all accounts, both guys are nice dudes, you know, and the fact that Klay Thompson was even embarrassed about that moment, you know, it shouldn't be an issue anymore, right? It should be in the past, but clearly Devin Booker's in his feelings about this.
Yeah, because he was on with, was it Sean Rooks?
Taylor Rooks. Yeah.
Pardon me.
Sean Rooks, the former basketball.
Big difference. I don't know where it took the turn. Things got heated when we played Phoenix. Conversation sparked. Me, and it came from that. And again, this goes down the respect line, George said of Booker. Me and Devin have always been good. He was little bro when he came in the league. And then all of a sudden, temperature changed into where now it's a line that was passed. Stepped over the line. It is what it is at this point. What
was the line that was passed, though? Like,
I don't know.
That's the point, right? Like, was it the tweet? Like, did you get the answer? Like, did they have a phone call that we don't know about?
Yeah.
Or something? And, you know, to Paul George's point, like, George sort of took Devin Booker under his wing a little bit when Booker first came into the league. And so these are, by all accounts, two of the nice guys in the NBA, very respectful guys. And now we got this beef, so that makes that Suns-Clippers matchup even a little more spicier. I will say, I am all for NBA beef.
I was going to ask you, are these NBA good for the league?
I love NBA beef, especially when you got a long season. Now, all of a sudden, sure, Clippers-Suns, that was going to be a big game anyway, but now we're looking to see if Paul George and Devin Booker dap up before the game. Does Paul George give a hard foul? Does Devin Booker give a hard foul? I'm all for the spiciness of it. I'll tell you a quick story. And I don't know if this is true, but I'm going to tell you what we ran with in the media years ago.
And Sean Rooks is not part
of
the story.
Sean Rooks, trust me, Sean Rooks, Taylor Rooks, you know, no Rooks were part of this.
I'm the first person who's ever confused those two ever.
We should can somebody put up a side-by-side of Sean Rooks and Taylor Rooks and give Whitey the business? Like, dude, how could you compare those two? Like, how could you mistake those two? But, you know, back in the day, Kevin Garnett, huge trash talker, huge trash talker. And him and Carmelo Anthony had a beef, got into it. So much so that after the game, Carmelo went looking for KG in the back. And so even to this day, people are still talking about that beef, that rivalry. And so I'm all for, you know, just a little added spice. I call it seasoning to your regular season games.
I think some of this is Devin Booker, and Devin Booker learned at the school of Kobe that, you know, that these people are your opponents, right, are your enemies,
right.
And you assert your dominance over them, right?
Yes.
You establish your will. You force your will upon them. That's part of it. But I think what's good for the league, to your point, Kyle, in my opinion, is that so often you're watching sports and it feels like I care about this more than they do. But when you got two guys
right.
that have that going on, you know that, oh, okay, there's something on the line here.
Yeah.
It's real.
And that's the thing I do like about Devin Booker. He carries himself a certain way when he steps into that onto the floor, walks into the arena.
Yep.
Like, he's all business. He's locked in. He's not trying to play kissy face. He's not trying to smile, you know, talk about AAU days. He's there to get buckets and beat you. And so you can see that edge that he plays with. But this happened during the offseason, right? Like, this is,
I don't even know
this
what
is
happened.
During the down season. Like, why is he so upset?
He's not Paul George isn't the first guy that's had a little issue there with the great Devin Booker. I say great because, like I said earlier, when he broke his nose in the finals against the Bucks and he just kept playing,
through it.
That's a great player right there.
No, he is. He's a competitor, and you know we saw even when Kevin Durant got hurt in this past series. I mean, this dude Devin Booker, he was going out there trying to put the Suns on his back, and so no, he's a tremendous talent. He's not a top 10 player, though, according to ESPN, if I'm correct, in the rankings. So, you know, he got a little chip on his shoulder, obviously, going into this season.
Speaking of the rankings, the NBA's top 100, were the Kings properly rated? While Kyle Draper says, no, they weren't. That's next year. We head down the home stretch. We're getting you ready here for Kings and Lakers basketball on Sacktown Sports.